Welcome back to the Chasing Tone podcast. Today I have Blake Weiland again with me. Blake!
I'm sorry.
How you been?
I've been great. I've been so busy.
You have. We both have been like opposite ways. We talked about this on episode 219 where we just kept missing each other. Like you're going to Nashville and I was in New York and then you were in New York and then blah, blah, blah.
I'm flying out to New York on Thursday, the Thursday as we record this.
Oh, that's right. You're going to New York next or well.
This week.
The following week. Right. Right.
Yeah. So I'm going out for the Fear the Riff Expo. So I think this is going to come out after that. So that doesn't do any good to plug it. So
yeah,
there we go.
Well, we'll be at Fear the Riff as well. I won't per se, but my good friend Paul will be there.
Well, I'll say hi to Paul then.
Super nice
guy. Be like, I know that Brian Wampler fella. Him and I talk.
Yeah, just go up to him, give him a big kiss on the cheek, and when he looks at you weird, just go, Brian told me to do that.
Okay, I will. And then we have a documented recording of it too. So.
I'm sure he'll be fine. So, man, there's been a lot of things that have happened, both in the gear world and in my personal life.
Same. So, we'll start wherever you want, and we'll end up wherever that may take us.
I've got a bunch of new gear purchases. A bunch.
Oh.
I've got 7 or 8 different Earthquaker device pedals I just got. Made a trade with those guys. So, that we swapped pedals,
mm-hmm.
which is, that's always fun to do. I do that with, I've done it with several people before, several companies. Picked up some GFI systems,
mm-hmm.
picked up a few of their stuff. What else did I get? I know I've got more. Hold on. Let me move something real quick so I can see the logo.
Mm-hmm. Look at it. Oh yeah. This is good tent. I'm just going to start singing.
An iRig Pro Dual.
Okay.
That is an interface for my phone. Well, you can use it for the computer too, but I'm going to use it for my phone.
Okay. For just a remote recording and whatnot?
Yeah, because it's going to allow me to run XLRs into my phone so I can capture better audio. So for some planned live streaming type stuff coming up.
That sounds very interesting. I'll have to check that out.
And let's see, we already knew I got a new guitar, my Paul Reed Smith.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually grown on me quite a bit. I've been playing that quite a bit here lately, oddly enough.
You getting more used to those pickups?
I am getting more used to it and the feel of it, and just it's feeling more normal to me, as odd as that sounds. Getting really used to having a little gear shifter on there.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you hit a little chord, you can get a little weeble wobble in on the chords.
Yeah, you can give it a little wiggle, for sure.
Yeah. Yep. So I probably use it more like a Bigsby, I guess, than like a Floyd Rose, for sure. I'm not like doing,
You're not dive bombing the thing?
Harmonic dives or anything. Yeah, nothing like that.
Wow. Woo.
None of that stuff. No. Just been, checking out some of the different Earthquakery stuff here recently. Been mm-hmm. getting into it. The Organizer is really cool.
Oh yeah, that's a classic. I love that thing.
Yep, that's a great thing. The Rainbow Machine. Got the new flanger as well.
The Pyramids.
Yep.
How you liking that?
I do like that quite a bit. It's pretty cool. I'll tell you the one thing. The thing that I wasn't sure about is the Bit Crusher thing.
Oh, the Bit Commander.
Bit Commander, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, of course, from a chicken picking type of player, as I generally tend to kind of swing around to, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to dig it, but I'm going to give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually really like it. I really do.
That's one of my favorite EQD pedals.
It's got a cool fuzz tone to it whenever you turn the oscillators off. And then you turn the oscillators on and it does all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I tend to play, as I'm sure most everyone does, I'll play something like that entirely different than I would play, a Tube Screamer, for example.
Of course.
So it's kind of fun to step in that realm and just, look at the guitar a little bit differently.
I think that's what pedals like that force you to do. Because you can't play like what you would normally do. It forces you into a different style than any kind of basic overdrive or distortion. You kind of have to like work with it and kind of explore its limitations and see how it responds to things, because it's just so much different. And that's the way that most of my, like, the most interesting stuff is to me. Where it changes the way you approach the instrument. And I think that's the half the fun type of deal.
It is, yeah. It definitely is. In fact, it's kind of inspired me to work on something a little out of our box.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, that's as far as I'm going with the description.
Those clips you sent me the other day?
I think I did send you a few of example clips of things I'm working towards.
Those are all kinds of up my alley. That's my speed that you're cruising at there.
Now that doesn't mean that we're gonna like break away from, you know, the other stuff as well. It's just that I don't know. I guess I'm maturing as a player, you know? I want to kind of do some other stuff besides overdrive and distortion, really. Overdrive and distortion and your typical delays and reverbs. I want to push that envelope just a little bit, but still in a way that's authentic and unique to Wampler.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So like, for example, I'm not making a Bit Commander clone. That would be stupid. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But I do like the idea of taking a whole new sound, not having a label that you're like, I don't know what to call it. It's just a thing that does this thing, you mm-hmm. know? I kind of like that idea. That's and maybe I'm over-romanticizing because, I haven't traditionally played a lot of stuff like that, just here and there. And now that I really have taken the past, I don't want to say I've taken the past few weeks off, but over the past few weeks here in July, I've spent a lot of time really just kind of reevaluating where I'm coming from as a player. Because to be really honest with you, kind of started to get bored playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds weird. Like I would listen to music, not everything, but you know, some of the stuff that is just more commonplace. And I'd be like, you know, it's not hitting me right now. You know, I'm mm-hmm. not hitting it in the feels.
No, I know I know what you mean because, and strangely, it's taken a little bit different turn for me.
I saw this.
I always like the noise mongering and you know, everyone knows how I've talked about my playing. It's just, you know, soundscaping things basically. But I've been listening to so much old country lately that I'm like, man, I need to learn how to do some of this. Like, I need to learn to pick the chickens a little bit. If I'm going to like enjoy this music and listen to it as much as I do, I really need to, I should learn to play some of it. I mean, come on. Which is like Brian and I are swapping places.
So Blake's bought a cowboy hat and he's like, mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be tone chasers. You know,
that'd be good advice. It's an expensive way to grow up. No, I mean, we went to Nashville and, of course, you know, that's obviously a big country music scene, but, I've been listening to this new podcast and it really like not forced me, but got me into exploring some of the smaller name artists and that I've never heard of before. I don't know if you've seen me talk about it at all, but the podcast is called Cocaine and Rhinestones.
Have we talked about this? I have not heard of that one. Nope.
Oh, it's so good. It's David Allan Coe's son, and it's exploring basically the stories and people behind like 20th century country music. So, you know, they do episodes focusing sometimes on an artist or producer or even just a particular song. And they like go into the history and how it became a thing and what its impact was. It's really, really good.
So that would actually be fascinating. I would love that.
I think you would really, really like it. It's really well done. And Some of the stories, I honestly, like, I recommended it to my parents, and then I listened to one, and I was like, texted my mom, I'm like, this gets a lot more brutal than I thought it was going to, just a warning. Like, it gets, some of them, I mean, there's murders and stuff, and some, it's, it can, it was a lot rougher. Some of the stories were just a lot more brutal than I had ever imagined that they would be, but it's fascinating nonetheless.
So I don't know if I've told you, are you into Hank the Third?
A little bit, a little bit.
Oh, I love Hank the Third.
It's good stuff.
Love his stuff. Super nice guy too. If you ever get a chance to meet him in Nashville, super great guy.
Nice.
And plus he loves fuzz. Dude has, I was at his house one time. He invited me over and he showed me his fuzz pedal collection. And he's got like all these crazy old fuzzes, like just all kinds of stuff. And it was just, it was a good time sitting down with Hank Williams III running through fuzz pedals.
That would be a really good
time. It
was
awesome.
That would be so much fun.
It was one of those moments that I'm like, this makes it all worth it. This is awesome.
Yes.
I'm like, hey, remember that time that your dad was Hank Williams? Do you remember that? That was awesome.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy?
Oh, no, I said dad. I meant granddad. Sorry.
Granddad, yeah. Isn't it crazy how much like his grandpa he looks? Like way more than his
sounds.
Dad.
Yeah, he doesn't look a whole lot like his dad, Hank Jr. I don't, well, at least with the beard and stuff. But look-wise and the way he even sings, he just resembles his granddad, Hank the Senior,
mm-hmm.
so much. It's just crazy. I remember the first time I heard him, I'm like, holy cow, he sounds and looks just like his grandpa.
Yep.
So, but I don't think his grandpa was into fuzz. So.
No, I mean, Hank III's a bit cooler in my book. Hank's got a metal band, doesn't he? Didn't he play in some metal bands?
He's got several metal bands. And in fact, what's cool is whenever he gigs, I think he still does this, he'll actually do a couple different sets. So like one will be like the Hank Williams III traditional country stuff. And then the next one will be basically a different band that he plays in, way heavier. And then the third band is like complete doom, satanic metal stuff, like it's crazy heavy, you know, like, so you're going from like one end of the spectrum to the complete opposite end of the spectrum all in one gig, all in one show.
That's crazy.
So that's a good way not to get bored though.
Oh, for, you know? Sure,
if you're playing the same songs every night,
I think so. That would keep it definitely keep it interesting, and you know, diversify. Yep. The audience, why not?
Yep.
Good times.
So have you seen what I've put out there on the Facebook land here recently with isolated tracks?
I seen it, but I didn't listen to it.
So
what you got going on?
So I don't know if we have talked about this, but I'm a big fan of Rick I think it's Beato on YouTube. So he'll take it Beato, in case anyone's interested. But he'll take a lot of songs. He's a producer, guitar player. He's done a bunch of stuff. But he'll take the stems, the isolated tracks of songs, and he'll break it down part by part. He'll be like, listen to what they did on this, you know, on this section of this song. Notice how they have just a little bit of flange going on in the left speaker, and the right speaker's got this kind of reverb on. He'll break all that stuff down.
For
all kinds
that.
Of songs. Oh, it's fantastic. I love his channel. Please check it out if you haven't. But anyway, so I started listening to his stuff. And I'm like, I would love to be able to do that. So I went on for about 4 hours. I went on this hunt. Like, where do I find stems? Well, he's a producer and he knows everybody. So it's a little easier for him to get them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little harder for me to call up, you know, Dan Huff or someone and be like, hey, can you send me all the stems from everything you've done in the past 10 years?
Like, what are you going to do with them? Oh, no, I'm just going to put them on YouTube.
Yeah, just going to put them on YouTube. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
be
it's
totally
fine.
So, but what I did find was a site that had close enough to the stems. So it's like all the Guitar Hero Rock Band isolated tracks.
Okay.
From like everything that they've done. So I've downloaded them all. And it's all different kinds of bands, all different kinds of music. And that is like, it'll have a guitar track, it'll have bass, a couple different drum tracks, and then vocals. And then it'll have one track that's basically everything else. So let's say there's some acoustic guitar and harmonica and, you know, a little bit of rhythm guitar, like during the solos and stuff like that. So it's not completely like a true stem, a true isolated track, but it is pretty close. So, In fact, if you listen, if you go to YouTube and like download a lot of the Van Halen stuff, that's what you're hearing is those tracks from like GarageBand. I'm 99.99% sure is what that's what that is.
Interesting.
Yeah. In fact, so just for my first one, I put on Facebook. It's been a few days ago. It was Alan Jackson's song called "Good Time." Mm-hmm. Brent Mason plays on it. And I was listening to it, and you know I'm a big Brent Mason nut, right? So I'm listening to it, and I'm picking every little piece that he's doing apart. Not in a bad way, but like going, oh, wow, he double-tracked just this section and then went back to mono and then double-tracked the next section a few bars later, and that's why it has that different texture there. I'm like, oh, I never noticed that in you know within the song, but when I isolate the guitars, now I hear it. And so I hit him up like, Brent, like I think this would kind of be kind of a cool thing to post on the Facebook if you're cool with it. Because he's playing like the Hotwired on it as well. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he said his first thing was, well, I'm not sure if that's me or not. And I said, I'm pretty sure it's you. I've been listening to your stuff for a long time. So I sent it to him. He's like, yep, that's me. And he's like, sure, it would have been nice to get paid on that one.
No, oh, geez, really?
No, I'm teasing. But he did listen to it. And he's like, yeah, sometimes when I hear that those sorts of recordings, it's not me. It's another band that's came in and duplicated the recording. He said, but yeah, that's actually me, you know, my part I played. So it was really fun to just kind of break that down and talk to him like, why did you do this way? This is awesome. You know, and kind of get his thoughts on what, you know, from the horse's mouth. Well, I did it that way because we were going for this kind of feel and style in that section, and it worked out.
That's really interesting. Yeah. To get it from the guy, you know, it's probably a little bit of a trip for him too, because that was a little while ago. And he's played on so many things. Like, he probably had to be like, think about it. Or maybe he didn't. I don't know the guy. But
no,
like,
no. Yeah, he's played on so many things. There's been times before where, you know, I'm like, how did you play that solo on, you know, whatever song? And he's like, I don't even remember that solo. I don't even remember recording that, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. When you do it every day, basically.
Yeah.
Some are going to slip by.
I remember a long time ago, I was sitting down with him, and I was talking about Chattahoochee, and he's like, how's that riff go again? And so I'm like, it goes like this. And he's like, oh, I remember that song. But I was thinking, this is weird. I'm teaching Brent Mason how to play his song. that's been a long time ago. I'm not really teaching him, but, you know, whenever you play on a, you know, a new song every day for the past 20 years, you're going to forget it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and plus, that's his gig. So it's not like he's, you know, in a car listening to country music on the way home, you know?
Yeah, he probably doesn't, does he? He probably I'm sure he likes it. Otherwise, he'd find some other genre to go do, because I'm sure he could play whatever. But at the end of the day, I bet he'd, you know, I'll be honest, like, at the end of the day, sometimes I'm like, I'm not going to listen to a guitar podcast today. I'm going to listen to something else, because I've, you know, recorded three of them today. I don't really want to listen to another one.
You're putting out so much content in that realm that you're like, I don't really want to listen to more Guitar Gear podcasts today. I would like to take a little break from that.
Yeah, I do still listen to, you know, 60 Cycle, you know, all those guys, Guitar Nerds and The Slum and all that. I do listen to it, but I definitely bounce around more than I used to. I used to catch every episode of all of them, and now it's like, sometimes I'm like, I gotta have a different cast. I need to find one about aliens. Let's find one about aliens today, you know, things like that, just to be completely off topic.
I've really gotten into, not that I wasn't into him before, and we brought this up, I've been listening to a lot of James Altucher stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because, I don't know if you've listened to the past few podcasts, but I want to start incorporating some more some interviews with different people that, not really like what you're doing with the Tone Mob, but, you know, like, I've done a few different YouTubers that are in the guitar space, mm-hmm. somewhat. Just to kind of, I guess, bring awareness to people that may not be familiar with them. And also to kind of highlight what you can do you know, if you're interested in guitar, it doesn't mean you just have to play in a band. We've talked about this all, you know, all the time for the past couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the business of music can be anything from making guitar picks, you know, building guitars, making pedals, for example, teaching lessons, having a YouTube channel. So there's a million different ways you can take that interest of yours or that quote unquote passion and do something different with it, you know, other than what one might think you would do by being passionate about guitar, you know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, you and I are examples of that too, that have taken what we were really into and then, you know, and we've taken totally different paths to get to, you know, be able to work in the industry that we enjoy.
Right.
And I didn't know exactly what I was doing, but yeah, you're right. I think having some more people like that on could be, you know, give somebody some ideas or some direction or some inspiration, I think is sometimes just the push you need.
Right. Yep.
Do you have anybody lined up?
I did Samurai Guitarist, who he was, you know who he is on YouTube? Well, I don't watch a whole lot of YouTube.
I don't watch a lot of YouTube, but I have seen him here and there.
Yeah, he's fantastic, super nice guy, has a great channel. Robert Baker, who's a shredder, great player as well. And then Sarah Dici when I was in New York. Now, she doesn't have a guitar channel. She has more of a vlogging channel that's a lot more like Casey Neistat's. So, in fact, she's in the building with Casey Neistat, which is pretty cool. You know what Casey Neistat is, right?
Only because of you.
Okay. So it's she's in a different realm. Her boyfriend's John Hill. He's a big time YouTube skateboarder, has a huge channel about skateboarding, but she plays guitar and she uses some of our pedals. She uses a Morgan amp and a Stratocaster, and she's a big John Mayer fan. So, and she loves to talk gear. So I had her on the podcast. I actually flew out there to do her podcast and a video with her, and I'm like, I want you on my podcast as well.
Right. Let's kill two birds with one stone here.
Right. I mean, totally different question. So she was interviewing me for hers, and then I was interviewing her for the Chasing Tonewind. But as far as other things coming up, yeah, there's I talked to Glenn Frickard the other day. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get him on here. You know who Glenn is, right?
I do.
He's
so angry.
He's the angry man on YouTube, yes. He does not like bass players or drummers, apparently.
I'm like, Glenn, it's okay. Like, Glenn, it's fine. That's what I always find myself to do. Glenn, come here. I'll give you a hug, bud. It's fine.
No, and I've met him, too, and he actually is a really nice guy. Really sweet guy. So, other than that, I mean, I'd like to... I don't know. I kind of play it... a little bit from my gut. I don't want to plan ahead too much because if I do, it becomes more like work and these podcasts are more like fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if I make a big schedule full of things, then I'm going to be like, I got to do a podcast. Sucks so bad, you know?
I know what you mean. I'm kind of the same way, except just by nature of it being necessary and having more flexibility now, I've scheduled them and having a nice backlog is so much less stressful. I really like it. But you don't want to get too far backlogged because then it's not very current.
Right.
Which, you know, presents its own challenges. So
right. It'd be 2020 talking about TC changing their tone print, you know, and it'd be old news.
Right. Exactly. So I'm trying to like, but like you, I'm trying to get, I still want to talk to the same people that I talk to, you know, owners of gear companies and things, but I'm really looking at trying to get more artists who are also, you know, gear nerds or have a unique approach to, their sound or something. Just because I think, you know, it's not a topic that gets explored in, you know, the hour long format. I don't see that being talked about really. You know, Premier Guitar will do a rig rundown, but I don't see anybody sitting down and nerding out with a guitar player, you know, for XYZ band for an hour about gear. And some of them want to. So that's some of what I'm trying to do on Tone Mob kind of moving forward. So looking forward to that. I'm supposed to record with Daniel Donato one of these
days. He's a super cool guy too. Daniel's just so nice.
He seems like great a player. Sweet guy, and he just shreds. So I'm looking forward to
great
that.
Great player. You'll learn more. the story whenever you talk to him, of course. But for those who don't know, as I recall, Daniel came to Nashville basically street busking. And you know what I mean? Like he was a guy on the sidewalk with an open guitar case just playing. And ended up getting a gig in a house band there in Nashville on Broadway. And
at Roberts, and right?
Eventually at Roberts, yeah. And now, you know, he's, well, at least in that world, he's pretty well known. I mean, you know, and a monster of a player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it'll be.
And he's got great hair, too. I got to admit, I'm a bit jealous of his hair.
He does have good hair. He's got good hair. And I like what he's been doing, like with what he calls the cosmic country stuff, where it's kind of like a little bit spacey, kind of has that outlaw style modulation going on. And it's not straight. It's definitely country, but it's not like straight traditional country, but not cheesy. I'm really into it. So I'll be really excited to actually pull the trigger on that and get that out into the world at some point. But anyway, yeah, just like you, I'm kind of shifting focus a little bit. I'm not ever going to get away from interviewing, you know, gear guys, but I do want to sprinkle in more artists just because they're interesting too, you know?
Yep, I totally agree. So here I am with my Paul Reed Smith.
Oh, yes.
And I'm looking at my my Telecasters here, and they're all kind of giving me the puppy eyes, puppy dog eyes.
Your tellies are sad?
Because for the past 3 weeks, I've been playing that Paul Reed Smith.
Yeah, they're like, hey, Brian, I thought you loved us.
They really are. I will say that I picked up my favorite telly the other day, and it felt so different compared to that Paul Reed Smith.
Oh yeah,
it's just not good or bad. Just I've been getting so used to the Paul Reed Smith that when I picked up the Telecaster, I was like, wow, this like. It's just a big chunk of wood, like it's like holding a baseball bat with a table mounted at the other end, you know? Like it's just, it feels completely different. So, but I like that because, I don't know, it makes me do different things. It makes me play different things. So.
Totally. Totally. Yeah, I've been bouncing around a little bit more.
So you're wanting to pick some chickens, right?
I am wanting to pick some chickens.
Yeah.
I do want to pick some chickens. I don't even know like where to start. Like it's such an unfamiliar territory to me. I don't even know where to go.
I can totally help you out with that. Easy.
Okay. Where do I go?
Oh, right now. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Doug Seven, this is all YouTube stuff. Doug Seven, look him up. Jim Lill, Lill, I believe is his last name. He's got some fantastic stuff. Those are my first go-tos. I know there's more guys. I'm trying to think.
I posted that in the group too, so I got a whole library to go through.
Oh, then I'm sure, you know, off the top of my head, those are the first two that pop up as like go-to guys.
Yeah. And I'm gonna have to find the For Dummies version. So we'll I need the person who can explain like I'm five, but I'll give it my best shot. I've been really thinking about actually
this is the G chord.
Oh yeah. Hey, what's a D? I'm really actually been thinking about, like, I'm going to try the YouTube method first, but I've really been thinking about actually picking lessons up again. I was taking them for about a year or so, and just got too busy, and they just fell by the wayside. And I've really been thinking about picking them up again, so we'll see. I've said this before, and then it eventually materialized into nothing. So,
like live and in person, or... More like a Skype lesson.
No, I'd like to do it live and in person. I've never tried the Skype lessons, but what I actually got out of having a real person here who knew what they were doing was, I mean, just simply someone to jam with who could point things out, like really be able to see them. You know what I mean?
Right, like you're holding your thumb wrong. Your thumb's in the wrong place.
Yeah, like, or, oh, you tried to bend it that way with that finger. Try to use your other finger. That way it'll make that transition easier. Not that a Skype guy couldn't do that. It's just a little bit harder to see, you know?
Right.
There's something to be said about having somebody in person kind of showing you the ropes.
Yeah, very true.
But we'll see. I may have just said all that, and then I'll just go back to blaring on fuzz pedals. But, well, you know.
There's nothing wrong with that either. Just you might be the first chicken picker to pull off, you know, an all fuzz band. I don't know.
That could be fun. Could be fun. Oh yeah, I don't think I've told you about my inbound new guitar. I don't know when I'm gonna get it, but I'm so excited about it. Or maybe we did talk about it. I can't remember. The Jazzmaster. Did we talk about the Jazzmaster?
I don't think you told me about that.
That Kelly Guitars in New York is building me. I can't remember.
No idea.
So I think we've talked about them before, but I don't know if we recorded it or not. Kelly Guitars or Carmine Street Guitars in New York City. He's been building for like, I think, some ridiculous amount of time, like 40 or 50 years, something. I hope I didn't just make him older than he actually is. That would be mean of me. But Rick, he's been building guitars forever. And he, in the last, I don't know when he started doing it, but he started going and salvaging wood when they would tear down some of these legendary New York buildings, tore down the Bowery and like the Chelsea Hotel. And he went and like got all the old pine, not all of it, but the good chunks of old pine. And he makes guitars out of it. He traditionally makes Telecasters, but I've always wanted an old Jazzmaster, but I couldn't justify paying vintage Jazzmaster prices. So
yeah,
I just had my 30th birthday, and the family said, "What do you want?" And I was like, "I want a Jazzmaster. I should see if Rick will build one." And he said that he would. So I don't think it's going to be done when I get down there, but I'm going to try to visit the shop and at least see what's happening. But I'm really, really excited. I just told him I want just a vintage spec Jazzmaster made out of that old 200-year-old wood, and we'll see what happens. I'm pretty excited about it.
What's his company name again?
Carmine Street Guitars is where you'll find him, like on Instagram or anything else. He doesn't actually do any of the website stuff or any of the social media stuff. He doesn't even own a cell phone, so. Yeah, Cindy Guitars. I don't know what her official title would be. I don't know if she's like technically an apprentice or how that works, but she works out of his shop and handles all that stuff. So she does beautiful work too, kind of in the same, you know, using the same methods that she's learning from him. So it's a really cool operation they got going down there.
Huh. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So
that's all I got, man.
That's all you got? I got more, but maybe we should save it. I actually have a lot more, but we'll save it. We'll save it for next episode.
You want to save it or you want to keep rolling?
I mean, it's just more talking about new stuff that I'm getting, but like, I don't know. We'll save it. Let's save it.
Okay. All right. So to all the listeners, I know I appreciate it. I'm sure Blake appreciates it. If you have any comments or questions, you can email me at podcast@wamplerpedals.com. You can email Blake at info@tonemob.com if you have questions for him.
Totally.
If you like our podcast, and I hope you do, if you don't like our podcast, I would question why you're still listening at this point. You might leave an iTunes review. That really that helps us, makes me feel good inside, and helps curb my low self-esteem.
Especially those bad reviews. Those do great for our self-esteem.
Oh, but other than that, appreciate all of you listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.